Editor's note. This is part one in a Flambéro Today series about the disappearance of Nusaybah Hassan. Late in the fall of 2006, Nusaybah Hassan disappeared. She left the apartment she shared with her boyfriend in downtown Hamilton around the end of November. The trees would have been mostly bare, and the night would have come on quickly. No one knows for sure what day it was, but all traces of her existence, bank transactions, medical records, social media posts, came to an abrupt halt on November 26, 2006, exactly 18 years ago today. Nusaybah had all her personal belongings with her the day she vanished. Outside the apartment, a family member was waiting to pick her up. She got into their vehicle, and they drove out of the city to their family farm on 8th Concession West, in the peaceful heart of Flambéro. The Hassan family no longer lives at the farm on the 8th Concession West in Flambéro. This is where Nusaybah was allegedly taken in late November of 2006. Photo by Kara Nickerson. That was the last time she was reported being seen or heard by anyone, almost two decades ago. Nusaybah Hassan was 26 years old. For a long time, nobody knew the young woman was even missing. It wasn't until 9 years later, in 2015, that a family member slipped up and told police they believed Nusaybah was murdered by a relative. Within a month of that revelation, the Hamilton Police Service launched a homicide investigation that remains open and active all these years later. Police say they have a good idea what happened to Nusaybah, but they need certain people to come forward and finally tell the truth. Who was Nusaybah Hassan? Was she murdered? Was she the victim of an honor killing, targeted by relatives because she somehow shamed her Muslim family? On the anniversary of her disappearance, and on the heels of a recent court ruling that declared the missing woman officially dead, Flambéro Today takes a deeper look at a local unsolved mystery. Detective Daryl Reed worked the case when it first opened, and 9 years later he is the primary investigator. Although Nusaybah's remains have never been discovered, he has no doubt she was murdered. We do believe family members got her to the family farm where her untimely demise took place, Reed tells Flambéro Today. But we won't identify who in that investigation is the actual suspect. Who was Nusaybah Hassan? The years moved on since Nusaybah's disappearance, but court documents from when she was declared legally dead in 2022 paint a picture of a young woman in a tough position. Born in Jordan, Nusaybah was short and slender with dark hair. Her friends described her as beautiful and bright. At the time of her disappearance, she was a student at Fanshawe College, working on a travel and tourism diploma. Friends said she had a beautiful singing voice. She loved Lauryn Hill and the Fugees. She liked to read in the park, picnic and rollerblade. Her friends said she was always someone who would do anything for you, who would always bring a gift to a visit. They said she was generous and thoughtful. But she struggled as well. She lived in a shelter at 16. A friend of Nusaybah's later told the Children's Aid Society, CAS, she entered the shelter because she was facing physical abuse at home. According to the documents from CAS, Nusaybah's parents forced her to return to Jordan after a few months in the shelter system. As a teen, Nusaybah was felt to have rebelled, the records read. She lived in Jordan for 2 years until she turned 18, then returned to Canada with the help of the Canadian government. In 1999, when she was 19 years old, Nusaybah gave birth to a daughter. She raised the child for 2 years before relinquishing her to CAS. According to CAS records filed in court, she did her best to take care of her daughter. But her relationship with the biological father was abusive. In December 2001, Nusaybah pressed charges against her child's father, but didn't show up to court because she was afraid of him retaliating. He retaliated anyway, the records show. She was assaulted once by him, and then again by one of his friends while he was incarcerated. The injuries from the assault forced her to drop out of her college program. Nusaybah surrendered her daughter on March 1, 2001 and did not attempt to keep in contact with her. Her final meeting with CAS was in April 2001, where the report says Nusaybah, felt there was a possibility that she could reunite with her family if she were no longer a single parent. Nusiba's child was in a six-month society wardship, which meant CAS was interested in reuniting Nusiba with her daughter. After April 2001, Nusiba did not continue contact with the CAS. Eventually, CAS put an ad in the Hamilton Spectator, trying to find and contact Nusiba. She did not respond to the ad, but a friend did. That friend provided information that suggested Nusiba may have returned to Jordan for a period after her daughter was surrendered to CAS. In the file, a CAS worker wrote that Nusiba was estranged from her family because her behavior clashed with their strict Muslim principles. "It was hard for your birth mother because of the cultural differences she experienced," the report reads. "She understood that in the event of a marital separation in Jordan, the birth father would assume care of the children. This was because a single mother could not remarry if she had children from a previous union." The report described Nusiba as being guarded, to the point of it being a bit odd, and said she was God-fearing. Nusiba's family never reported her missing to Hamilton police. A passport photo of Nusiba Hassan. Hamilton Police Service. A long-awaited tip. "She ran away," they assumed. Nusiba was a first-generation Canadian with a Jordanian passport. "That's probably where she was," the family maintained. Not that anyone seemed to ask. Until a cold day in February, 9 years later, when someone in the family finally let something slip to a friend. That friend was Const. Rick Byes, an officer with Halton Regional Police. That same day, Const. Byes filed a missing persons report with Hamilton Police. The family member who spoke to Byes, who remains anonymous in all documentation about Nusiba's case, told him Nusiba hadn't been seen or heard from since that fall day in 2006, and that another family member had killed her. Reed, the lead investigator in Nusiba's case, was limited in what he could tell Flamborough today because the investigation is ongoing. But he is certain that Nusiba did not leave the farm alive. Her case was reclassified as a homicide a few weeks after she was declared missing. "It is our theory that while she was at the family farm in Flamborough, she was a victim of foul play and that ultimately her remains were disposed of," he said. The footprint ends. The Hassan family no longer lives at the secluded farmhouse on Concession 8. It is difficult to sit at the end of the driveway and not imagine Nusiba on her last car ride toward the house. In a sworn affidavit filed as part of the death certificate proceeding, Reed wrote, "We interviewed numerous members of Nusiba's family, including the family member who allegedly made a comment about killing Nusiba. Was it one of her 7 siblings? A parent?" Reed is unable to say. But police were able to search through Nusiba's personal records, both paper and digital. Everything went quiet in late 2006. The last recorded contact Nusiba had with anyone was with social services on November 26, 2006, 18 years ago today. That is when her medical records and bank transactions also end. Her driver's license expired in 2007 and has never been renewed. The last post she ever made on social media was in November 2006. Did she flee the country? The Canada Border Services Agency only records when Canadians return to the country with their passports, not when they leave. The last recorded time Nusiba used her passport was in August 2005, more than a year before she vanished. Her passport expired in 2011 and was never renewed. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police later joined the investigation, looking into claims Nusiba was living in Jordan. The RCMP did not find any evidence she was living there. She had been taking classes with Fanshawe College and didn't complete her course. In his affidavit, Reed wrote, "Nusiba had no other support network or other financial means that would allow her to disappear on her own and remain hidden for the last 15 years. Reed wrote that all interview statements taken in 2015 suggested the last time Nusiba was heard from was that day in the fall, when a family member brought her out to the farm, after which no one reported hearing from Nusiba. According to publicly available property records retrieved by Flamborough today, The family farm on Concession 8 West was purchased in September 2006, just 2 months before Nusaybha vanished. When Musa Hassan, Nusaybha's father, died in 2012, his wife Yamina, Nusaybha's mother, became the sole owner. She then sold the property in a transaction that closed on October 14, 2016, records show. Less than 3 weeks later, on Halloween Day, 2016, police arrived at the address to execute a search warrant. Officers from three other forces, Halton, Guelph and the Ontario Provincial Police, worked alongside Hamilton Police to search the home, with the consent of the new owners. The search turned up no trace of Nusaybha or any of her belongings. After almost 10 years, the investigation is still active. There is a 9-year gap between Nusaybha's disappearance and the start of the investigation. In those 9 years, Reed said, people's memories fade, people's interest in cooperating might fade. The first few days or first few weeks of an investigation are the most fruitful, he told Flamborough Today. Reed said this particular search is likely the most time and resource-consuming investigation he has worked on in his career. It's the longest delay that I've had in one of my investigations between when things occurred and the reporting to the police, he said. But time also has some benefits, he said. Police were able to begin a homicide investigation very soon after the initial missing persons report came in. Since the file was opened on February 11, 2015, another 9 years has passed. But Reed said the case is still open and active. There are still actions that need to be taken, he said. There are people that we are hoping will still come forward and speak to us. Until all of those are exhausted, we would not call it a cold case. And time, he said, can sometimes make people more cooperative. While Reed is limited in what he can say, he was clear when he spoke to Flamborough Today about who needs to come forward. We know that there are members of this family that have more information for us and we hope that one day they find the courage to come forward and speak to us, Reed said. When asked if Hamilton police consider Nusaybha's homicide to be an honor killing, in which a woman is murdered for failing to uphold traditional cultural values, such as chastity, Reed said the investigation has looked at several scenarios. You can't get tunnel vision and you can't look at just one avenue, he said. You have to cover off everything. Although none of her immediate family members have come forward to help police, one person has taken up a call for justice in Nusaybha's case, the daughter she put up for adoption all those years ago. More to come. This article is part one in a 2-part series on the disappearance of Nusaybha Hassan. This article covers the facts of the case as presented by Hamilton Police. But to understand what led to Nusaybha's disappearance, it is crucial to understand the years leading up to her disappearance, and to hear from the daughter Nusaybha put up for adoption, who continues to fight for justice.